few years ago in Tulsa at one of the Prayer and Power conferences, there's a young man there, and I hadn't seen him before. I said, well, young fellow over there. I said, oh, yeah. Well, he pastors Great Commission Church in Marshalltown, Iowa. Really? Well, what's his name? Richard Edgar. Well, what's his last name? Edgar. I said, what? His parents named him Richard Edgar Edgar? Said, no. That's his last name, Richard Edgar. Oh, okay. I'll just let you in on a little secret. Pastor Bronk and I have been attending those conferences in Tulsa since March of 1997. Every year. We've seen them come and go. We've seen pastors come in and, man, it seems like that they're on fire, they're grabbing a hole, they're walking this path, and after about 2, 3, 4 years, 5 years, whatever, don't see them anymore. Now, in some cases, there can be a legitimate reason. But generally, there's not a legitimate reason. One pastor one time, really nice man, I mean, I like this guy, but he shared, well, you know, we're going in a different direction. And I'm thinking, well, then why don't you like share it with everybody else? Because if this different direction is going to work better than the path I'm on right now, then for crying out loud, tell me. Well, we've seen them come and go, and I'll be honest with you, more go than stay. Richard has stayed, and I'm hoping he does continue to stay. Otherwise, we'll be talking about him. And what listen, Richard Edgar is one of the most wonderful men you'll ever meet in your life. And his wife, Natalie, man, I'm telling you what, she loves the Lord. She's a worship leader in their church. I mean, they are just a super dynamite, dynamic couple. And the more you get to know them, the more you're going to love them. And they have some kids. Man, I'm telling you, their kids are just great. You know, you can't always understand what they're saying, but glory to God. But, you know, the Lord ministered to me about having Richard share the word tonight. So, Pastor Richard Edgar, would you please come?
Well, everybody else has done it. Natalie, would you stand up? That's my wife. And I'm going to be nice because someday she's going to get the mic and she's going to preach. So I'm going to sow a good seed. My kids are at home with Grandma, and I just like to acknowledge her. She's allowing me to do what we do. And so thank you, Mom. I appreciate you. And like you said, we're from Marshalltown, Iowa, a Great Commission Church. Just to give it a nutshell, my parents, my mom and my dad, started Great Commission Church when I was 2 or 3 years old. So I'm a PK, raised in church. I relate to your testimony, Bronk, you know. Yeah. Never went crazy. But everybody's got a flesh, all right? And it doesn't mean that we don't have those options. And, you know, I'm one of those. If you ask me when I got saved, I don't know. I don't know when I got saved. I always point back to when I was 18 years old. This is how it happened for me when I was 18. I felt like the Lord came and sat with me for about a week or two and said, look, you've been going to church, you know about the gifts, you've got a lot of knowledge, a lot of accountability already, but you're not riding on your parents' coattails anymore. It's your walk, it's your choice, are you going to follow me or not? And I felt the gravity of it, whereas before I didn't feel any, you know, responsibility. It was kind of like a hobby, you know, going to church was a hobby, you know. Run around, okay, yeah, tongues, well, yeah, okay, you know. But when I hit 18, it's like, it's your job. Are you going to follow me or not? And so I said yes. And then once you say yes, you know, he kind of expects to have a voice in your life a little bit. He's Lord. Everybody agree with that? Yeah. Let's all say that together. Jesus is Lord. See, and lordship is not a democracy. It's not a conversation. Now, he'll entertain your questions and he'll entertain, thoughts you may have. But I found the more I followed him, you don't get to mix your ideas with his ideas. You know, and the challenge of following God is that when he starts to give you directions, it's got to pass through your understanding. You know, it's got to pass through your soul. So when he gives you an instruction, your mind has to take that instruction. It's got to weigh it. And then you kind of got to say, well, is this a good idea or not? Well, I believe I'm hearing this from God. And so often what the soul wants to do is open up the spiritual mail you're getting and edit it and say, well, this is okay. I can get behind this, but let's put this as a plan B, you know. Just this, take that out. And every time I do that, it messes things up. Because it's his direction. He's Lord. Amen. Everybody agree with that? So I've been following him, and many of you know my testimony. I got associated with the prayer center, went to school. How I met Natalie, I met her at ORU, and went to Oral Roberts University. I started taking her to the prayer center. And we were associated with the prayer center for about 5 years before my dad suddenly passed away. We moved back home at the Lord's leading, and I've been pastoring that church for, it'll be 10 years in January. Can't believe that, but it's 10 years. But I just want to take this opportunity and thank this body and this church and Pastor Jim and Kathy. I've been doing this for 10 years, and I know I'm a PK, but every once in a while, you know, like when I don't feel like I know what I'm doing, I'll get on your website and say, now, what did he say about this? How do you do this? You know, it's kind of like a kid when you're taking a test in school and you're like, how are you doing this on your problem, you know? And so I get the sense this is a really healthy church. There's everything, there's stuff in order here. There's stuff in, it's right and it's sound and it's healthy, and there's a respect for each other as a body and as for the leaders, and I just really appreciate you guys, so thank you. Everybody else feel that way about this place? I know I'm not part here, but I feel that way about this place, and being a pastor, it's a blessing to have an example to look to and listen to. So you can be opening up, I believe, to John 15. We drove down last night, and I started streaming the live services, listening to, I listened to yours archive, Jim, but I was listening to Bronk Live, and I'm sitting there behind the wheel knowing what I had just preached a couple hours before in my own church. Sitting there, and I mean, I can't do anything. I can't run around. I can't hop. I'm behind the wheel going 75 miles an hour, you know. All I can do is just rock back and forth because the word that's coming forward is already, I can see the direction God wants to take this. And if I could just repeat what I said on Sunday at my church, it would probably fit in just fine. It's not exactly right, but that's how the line of thought, and it's just so neat to see how the line of thought, God's merging everything up. And I believe that the body of Christ, and in particular the churches in relationship that are represented here, that we're starting to, I don't know how to say it, but we're starting to beat around the bush closer to the target. We're starting to understand what this is in a more real way, that I believe we're going to start walking in things that we've been believing for a long time. And I don't believe it's going to be as hard as you think. I mean, that word that came forward at the prayer center a couple of years ago, I think it was through Gary, that says, you're going to laugh when you look back how hard you thought it was. You guys remember that one? So the exact phrasing of that word, I don't know if I'll get it exactly right, but you'll look back on the years that you have now and you'll laugh at how hard it was. Because we want to see the miracles, we want to see the power, everything we're believing for. But that means that where we're at right now, we're coming from it from a place where we see it as hard. And that's wrong, according to that. That's wrong. So if we're going to laugh when we look back and see that it's not as hard as we think it is to do these things, then we have a wrong picture already of how hard it is. And that has to change. Everybody say change. And I think the first thing in this message that's supposed to happen is to excite hope. Everybody say hope. Say, because hope is a powerful force. It is absolutely a powerful force. And it was such a good segue that Alay gave us, or gave me, you know, with your confession, there has to be a heart of hope. There has to be a lively image on the inside of you of what is possible. And without that hope, that everything is possible on the inside of you, what are you going to give substance to in your actions? And everything you have been believing for in your life and for the world and for the church, I want you to know it's possible. You are the love that He says you are. And not 10 years from now. You're a new creature today. The fruit of your spirit is love. The fruit of your spirit is joy. Peace. That's who you are today. And he's been focusing on John 15 with me for a couple. It's probably been almost 9 months. And it kind of set me back a bit because, and I don't want to set anybody else back, but maybe we should. He kind of said to me, he says, you still don't fully understand the new birth. And that's what he told me. He says, you can't be free from sin without that law being replaced by something else. See, what makes you free from the law of sin and death? The law of life in Christ Jesus. One displaces the other. One is not absent and the other coming. One displaced the other. So I can't be free from hating you without loving you. I can't be free from lying without telling the truth. If you're free from sin, you're free to be love. You're free to be truth. You're free to be joy. You can't be free from worry and not be free to trust. Everybody with me? You're not void of a law. It's been replaced. The law of life in Christ Jesus has, everybody say has, set you free. It has set you free. And everything you're believing for, I believe we are. He has made you free. The trouble is, you're convincing yourself. How are we convincing ourselves? You need to look in your mirror. Everybody hold up your mirror. See, because your mirror, your spiritual mirror. Yeah, I got more than one mirror up here today. The trouble with this mirror is it shows me more than one thing. But this mirror's only got one picture in it, okay? But see, when you look in your natural mirror, you see this face. But when you look in this mirror, you see who you are in your spirit. And I'm going to share a picture. I've been talking about this at my church the last couple of weeks, and I don't know how many years ago it was. I was watching a documentary, and what they did, it was a charity where they took a homeless guy, and he looked like your typical homeless guy. He hadn't bathed. Okay, just everybody visualize this with me. Get the picture in your mind. He hadn't bathed. His nails weren't trimmed. I mean, it's what you'd expect, that there was dirt under the nails. His hair was matted and greasy. The clothes were tattered, hadn't been washed. You all with me? Probably if you were in his presence, you'd smell something. Now, what does that do? One, to know that you look like that, smell like that. When you go walk around, what does that do to who do you think you are? I mean, it's got to reinforce an image. But the image itself is coming from something on the inside of him, and it's being continually reinforced by his behavior. So it's just a cycle. And this particular guy was in his, he was in his mid-50s at least. Hallelujah. And so his prospects for life, what do you think he thought about his prospects for life? They're going downhill. I got nothing to look forward to. No family cares for me. So this particular charity, all they did, now to my knowledge, they never gave him any aid, no money, nothing. All they did was brought him in and they gave him a makeover. Shaved his head, you know, gave him a clean cut haircut. It was similar to the one I have. Shaved his beard. And, well, they didn't shave it all off, but they made it like really clean cut. Dressed him, washed him, put him in a really, really nice suit. Now, if you would have seen this suit, it was just like it, you know, immaculate. Nice shoes. And if you would have seen this guy walking around the streets of a big city, you'd say, now that guy's got power. That guy's got wealth. That guy's got prospects. He's got a vision for his life just by looking at him. Everybody with me? And they didn't show this guy the process at all. All they did was do it behind the scenes. And then at the end of it, they flipped the mirror around, showed him what they did. And he broke down in front of that mirror crying. Because who he saw in that mirror was not who he thought he knew. Who he saw was somebody else. He saw somebody else. And what? Now, to my knowledge, they never did anything for him except that. And now, from the moment he saw himself that way, he immediately began to take steps of action. And he started filling out job applications. He looked for low-income housing. Because he wanted his real life to match up with that picture of who he saw. And that picture changed the trajectory of his life. Now, I mean, these people weren't Christians to my knowledge. I don't know anything about that. This is just in the natural. But this transformation that occurred on the outside gave this guy such hope. Everybody say hope. Gave him such hope that his life could be different than what it was, that he took action to make it like what he saw. He took steps to take that picture and make it his reality, what had not been his reality. They didn't do anything for him except show him, hey, this is what you could be. Take it or leave it. And he took it. Now, what I see in here is I see an image of Christ. And I'm going to take it. You here with me? I'm going to take it. Everything he says you are, he's Lord, you're not. And you are who he says you are. Hallelujah. My wife does this song at our church, and I wrote the lyrics down, and I just want to share them with you. It's called Abba. And the verses go, you're more real than the ground I'm standing on. Hallelujah. You're more real than the wind in my lungs. And then the next phrase goes, your thoughts define me. You're inside me. You're my reality. I mean, that song in a nutshell is my message. Because we have to allow his thoughts to define who we think we are, not who we think we are. We have to let his thoughts define who we are. Everybody with me? Hallelujah. I was at the... we're going to get to John 15. I was at the... Target in Ames, Iowa last week. That was probably my first problem was I was at the Target. But we were checking out and I had my two boys with me. And there was this man. He was a man. And he was standing in front of me checking out. And now I know he was a man because I too am a fellow man. Yeah. And a human being, you know, I don't have to be a man or a woman to judge my own species. I know my own species. And, but I know he was a man because he had a beard like me. He's a bigger guy, bigger than me. He had masculine features, short hair. But the trouble, the confusing thing was, he had high heel leather boots on And he had this really, really heavy leopard print lady's coat. Okay, everybody got the picture? And then his voice was what you'd expect, you know. I can't imagine he naturally sounds like that, but he was really trying to make it high-pitched feminine voice, you know. Now, my boys were with me, and I said, boys, come back here. Stand here behind me. Why? Because you're afraid of exposing them to that? No, no. I'm not afraid of a lie. But my middle son, Marshall, if you know, you get to know Marshall, really who he is, he has no filter. He's got no filter, and he's got no inside voice. Now, those two things together, I am an anticipating person. I know what to expect. You know, I anticipate problems before they happen. That's my strength. I said, Marshall, come back here. He hadn't seen him yet. My son, 6 years old, got enough sense to know something's wrong. Something's wrong. So I said, come back here, son. I don't want to, because my son says, why is that man dressed like a lady? I'm going to have to answer there. And I'm going to have to say, he is confused. And I'm not going to, I don't need that much drama in my life. Okay? All right. So, praise God, everybody with me. Now, this is the sobering thing, and this is what the Lord was showing me, and I'm not trying to offend anybody, but the Lord says, that's my church. That's my church. I don't mean that my church approves of that. What I mean is that my church is confused about who they are. That they are, in the same way that that man believes the lie that he's a lady, it's just like what you said when I was listening on the drive here. You can take a pig, dress it up, put lipstick on it, jewelry, it's still a pig. Okay, it's not going to change anything. Okay, you are a child of God, made in His image. You are defined by love, joy, peace. He has sent you in the same way that He was sent. He has glorified you the same way He was glorified. He loves you the same way He was loved. And you better believe it. Because once you believe it, you're going to stop acting like you're inferior. You're going to start acting. You're going to stand up straighter. You're going to look problems in the eye and say, I know who my God is. Not be moved around by every wind of doctrine and every circumstance comes your way. See? Because we're children of God and we're nothing less than that. Hallelujah. Everybody in John 15? I'm going to take a little. John 15. I am the true vine and my Father is the husbandman. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean, or purged, through the word which I have spoken unto you. And the Lord kind of highlighted those words to me a little while back, and he started to highlight them throughout the whole New Testament. I don't think we'll go to all of them, but the places here where it says, okay, every branch in me that beareth not fruit, he takes away, and every branch that beareth fruit, he purges or cleans it. That word is the same root word as the word clean in verse 3. Now you are clean or purged through the word which I have spoken unto you. The verse that Bronk used the other night when he says washing of the water by the word, that washing is the same root word as this word. If you were go to 2 Peter when he says, when you know, he that has forgotten these things. Actually, let's just go there. We'll come back. Go to 2 Peter. Okay. We'll start here. You never know where to start. I don't want to read forever, but how do you skip? 2 Peter chapter 1. We'll start in verse 4. Whereby are given unto us exceeding great and precious promises, that by these You might be partakers of the divine nature, having escaped the corruption that is in the world through lust. And beside this, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue. So the faith in what? The faith in the gospel that you're born again. Okay, so he says, add to that faith that you have in Jesus Christ virtue. To virtue, knowledge. To knowledge, temperance. To temperance, patience. And to patience, godliness. To godliness, brotherly kindness. And to brotherly kindness, charity. For if these things be in you and abound, they make you that you shall neither be barren nor unfruitful. Everybody say unfruitful. Neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord Jesus Christ. But he that lacketh these things is blind and cannot see afar off, and hath forgotten that he was purged. Everybody say purged. This is the same word as those other words that I just talked about. He was purged from his old sins. Wherefore the rather, brethren, give diligence. Everybody say diligence. To make your calling and election sure. For if you do these things, you shall never fall. Everybody say do. See, it's important to be a good doer of the word. All right, so we can skip back. We can go back to John chapter 15. I just wanted you to, you can go look those up later. But those are all the same word, basically. We'll start here in verse 2. Every branch in me that beareth not fruit he takes away, and every branch that beareth fruit he purges it or cleans it, that it may bring forth more fruit. Now you are clean or purged by what means? Okay, by what means are we purged? By what means are we cleaned? By what means are you fruitful? Now you are clean through the word. The word which I have spoken unto you. Now I'm going to ask you a question. Are they purged and cleaned simply because they heard it? No. See, it's not just about sitting there in the pew and allowing the Word of God to come in you, but never to affect the trajectory of your life. Never to take steps in obedience. That Word does not clean you until you obey it. And that Word, we're not Old Testament creatures, we're New Testament creatures. He's not giving us commandments we can't keep. He's giving us commandments we can keep because we are born of His Spirit. We are made in His image, okay? Now you are clean or purged through the word which I have spoken unto you. Abide in me and I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself except you abide in the vine. No more can you except you abide in me. I am the vine, you are the branches. He that abideth in me and I in him, the same brings forth much fruit. This is, if I can use the word formula, this is the formula. You abide in him, he abides in you, and you bear fruit. Okay? Now, he did the first part. Okay? He is the vine. He is the one that opened the door out of spiritual death and gave you a way into receiving him. Okay? But you still have the diligent doing of allowing his word to abide in you. That's your job. That's my job. Now, let's skip down here to verse 7, and he expands this. He doesn't say, if you abide in me and I in you. He says, instead, if you abide in me and my words abide in you. So how does he abide in us? You allow his word to abide in you. How do we let his word abide in us? Well, he tells you. You shall ask, okay, if you abide in me and my words abide in you, you shall ask what you will and it shall be done unto you. Herein is my Father glorified, that you bear much fruit. Everybody say much. So shall you be my disciples. And in other translations it says, so shall you prove that you're my disciples. So the picture here is, look, if you're not bearing the fruit of a disciple, you're probably not following him. You're probably not allowing his word to purge things in your life. Okay? So you're proving you're a disciple by the fruit you bear. Okay, so how do we let the word purge us? Verse 9. As the Father hath loved me, so I have loved you. Continue ye in my love. How do I do that? Verse 10. If you keep my commandments, let me say it another way. If you keep my words, if you diligently obey my sayings, you know, Jim's message when he was talking about the keys of the kingdom, Everything that Jesus taught is a saying and a command that can bear fruit in your life. And if you'll put it into action, you're going to bear the fruit. And what can be kind of confusing in watching people's lives, and I get to see this at my church and other people that I respect too, I can respect a large portion of their life, you know, 90% of everything they're following God. But the word that you don't allow to prune you can be the word that takes you out. So let me say that a different way. The word that you don't allow to prune you, if God isn't given access to your heart and your mind, there's a way for you to fall in that word that you're not receiving. And, I've shared this many times. I'm going to share it again. For me, one of the things that I was not diligent in doing was he had told me, you need to cut back on sugar. And that was what he told me. Okay, now he might not tell you all that. That's not here. I don't see that. But he does tell you to be temperate, okay? So, but he told me that. Now, if I don't let that word change my behavior, then I'm not being pruned. I'm not being pruned. And even though I might be bearing fruit in other areas, I could be cut short in my life if I don't follow that word. Everybody with me? Sobering. Okay, it's a little sobering. It's a little scary. But do you want to be fruitful or not? Hallelujah. I want to be fruitful. And he is Lord and I'm not. So we're going to let him have his way. And I want him to be Lord over everything, not just the part I allow. That's not really lordship. That's not really discipleship. If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. Now look at this. Even as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide. Everybody say abide. Now see, this isn't the unconditional love of God that he has for everybody and those that are in hell now. This is an abiding love that I have fellowship with God because he and I are walking together. How can two walk together unless they be agreed? I'm abiding in a different kind of love here, okay? If you keep my commandments, you shall abide in my love. So here's the picture. Even as I have kept my Father's commandment and abide in his love. Okay. See, Adam was the first vine, if you allow me. Adam was the first vine. And Jesus, he's the last vine. And that first vine, I don't often think of myself in terms of a plant, but this is what Jesus says. He says, abide in me as the branch cannot bear fruit of itself. Okay, so we have to think of ourselves as plants in here. And so what do we know about branches? Well, I live on a farm, and every year, every spring, right now, what my wife likes to do, she'll go out to our lilac bush. She'll get a pair of tweezers, and she'll cut off some of those blooms once they're in full bloom. Everybody loves lilacs. You know the smell of them, you know. Well, that smell is coming from the root. What it's drawing on, what it's receiving, all the fruit of it, all the beauty of it, it's coming from the root. So when my wife goes out there, she'll clip a couple branches, she'll bring them in, and she'll put them in a vase. Now, we do our best to prolong the life of them, but do you know the instant you take those clippers and you clip that branch, you've given that thing a death sentence. Even though it looks alive, even though it can carry on for a couple weeks maybe two, it still has the smell in the evening, still pretty for a time. The moment you clipped it off, it was dead. And Jesus said to Adam, in the day that you eat of the fruit of that, you will surely die. And it's almost as if the visual here is like, you know, Adam's looking at himself, looking at his wife. We're here. Yeah, but you've been cut off from the source of life. You have been cut off from the source. And Jesus is painting a picture here. Is God. God is all sufficient. Everything, I used to stand in awe looking up when I was younger. I still do it. I'll go out where we live on the farm. I'll go look up at the sky and see all the stars. Where we live, you can see the Milky Way. Anybody ever seen the Milky Way? Oh my goodness. And to know that you're a small part of a galaxy that's mostly incomprehensible. And then to know that that galaxy is one of billions, millions, I don't know. It's an unfathomable resources out there. And God just made it all. Made it all. He is all sufficient. He doesn't need anything. He doesn't need the breath we're breathing now. He is the source of all life. And God made man in His image. Let's go to John chapter 3. Genesis. I was listening to Gary's messages this morning. I was like, please don't use all my verses. I listened to Jim. Well, I'm glad I got in this earlier. I wouldn't have had nothing to say. Genesis chapter 3. He got there. He didn't get to my verse. I'm going to use. Hallelujah. Genesis chapter 3. Now look at this. We'll start here in verse 17. See, if you think of Adam as being a vine, the first vine, he was the pinnacle of God's creation. He was the authority figure. He put him in charge of it. Okay, he was the vine. He was the... Him and God were like this, okay? And his relationship with God, he was from the top down, or I don't know, he was the root, if you would, where he was receiving from God, and he was the authority over creation. Adam was. But now look at what happened as a result of the fall in verse 17. And unto Adam he said, because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife. Skipping over many jokes right here. Okay. Not going to go there. Love you, honey. Knowing that my wife will preach someday, I will not tread there very long. Okay. Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, thou shalt not eat of it. Now look at this. Cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread. Now, the picture before was he was in a garden, and he was just passively partaking of the fruit. He was receiving almost, if you would, by grace, everything God had provided. And he's saying, look, from this point up forward, it's almost as if he's saying here, look, the branch is going to have to bear itself. The branch is going to have to provide for itself. We're going to have to do our best to recreate life without God as our source. Because we're no longer connected, you and I. Okay. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field, and in the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. So without that sustaining life from God, that spiritual connection, there was no force on earth that could keep him alive. He was cut off like a branch cut off from the vine. But when we step back into Christ, we are grafted in, and that word is grafted into us, and that sap begins to flow. We're able to receive from Him, and we're able to bear fruit not of ourselves, but the word that He is bringing to us is our daily substance, sustenance. He said, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds out of the mouth of God. So in the same way that physical bread's keep us alive physically, the spiritual bread, the spiritual sustenance, the sap that flows through the vine to the branch to bear fruit is His word to you. It is His word that purges, cleanses, and bears fruit in your life. Everybody say His word. His word. All right, now let's go forward to James. James, let's see. I believe it's chapter 1. We'll start here in verse 16, James 1, 16. Do not err, my beloved brethren. Every good gift and every perfect gift has come from above, cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. of his own will begat he us with the word of truth, that we should be a kind of first fruits of his creatures. Wherefore, my beloved brethren, let every man be swift to hear, slow to speak, slow to wrath, for the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. Wherefore, lay apart, put off the old man, put on the new. Awake to what you have been made. Okay? Wherefore, lay apart all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness. Okay? Rampant wickedness. Put it away. Put all wickedness away. Everything that Bronk was talking about in that message last night. If you are a good tree, you're going to bear good fruit. Put it away. And receive with meekness. Meekness. Humility. Teachability. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. Everybody say engrafted. The engrafted word which is able to save your soul. See, Jesus did that first part when he says, abide in me and I in you. But the engrafted word which is able to save your souls is that when he gives you a word, whether it's through here or whether it's a word to you personally, that word has come to adjust who you think you are, and it has come to adjust the trajectory of your life. Okay? So when I read the words of Christ and he says, love your enemies, I'm a new creature. I got a choice. Is that word going to bear fruit in my life? Well, then I'm going to express love to those that don't love me back. And he doesn't ask you whether or not it feels good. He tells you, love your enemies. Love your enemies. You're new creatures. Stand up straight. Bare your shoulders. Look him in the eye and say, I bless you anyway. When they cut you off, when they cut you off in the car, I'm doing better. And see, what's happening with me, for me, I'm just going to talk about me, not talk about anybody else, okay? It was almost like I'd run around trying to put out fires. Like, I see this is wrong, this doesn't match the image of Christ, I'm going to put that fire out. This doesn't look right, this doesn't match the image of Christ, I'm going to put that fire out. And you run around your life putting fires out all the time. But if you would develop in you, like what Alea was saying, if you develop in you an image of who Christ has made you to be, so strong that I identify with Christ in me, I can love my enemies. I can walk in peace. I can hear God's voice. I got enough boldness to pray for the sick and see him healed. I wake up every day knowing that God's with me and nothing is impossible. And you just cultivate that for a while and let that redefine everything you think you are until it starts to change the fruit that's manifesting, because it is who he said you are. So you say, well, I've got an anger issue. Okay. All that is a pattern of behavior from the memory of who you used to be. You're not that now. You're not that now. All things are new. You are a new creature in Christ Jesus. So you are trying to convince your soul, hey, something happened inside. We got to get on board with it. We got to get on board with it. Hallelujah. Okay. Receive with meekness, teachability. See, this humility is necessary for us in order to receive this, because there's so much evidence that we've had, no matter how little time you've had in the world or how long a time you've had in the world, you had time in the world that taught you you were somebody that you're not now. You had time in the world that taught you this is who you are, okay? So I had, anybody that goes to public school or just life in general, they're going to tell you who you are. They're going to tell you who you are. It's like the life will give you a note every once in a while. It says, you are deficient in these things, and you're not really a public speaker, and you shouldn't be doing this, that, and this. Oh, I didn't know that that's who I was, but thanks for telling me. Thank you. And life doesn't ask permission to come tell you stuff. You got people in your life that says, you really shouldn't be acting that way. You shouldn't be praying for people. You know, it causes a scene. What? Who are you? He's Lord in my life. Hallelujah. And see, we have all of this baggage of self-image. Everybody say self-image. Now, I like to think I'm a manly guy, okay? So self-image isn't something we talk about a lot. That's too deep. We don't want to talk about self-image, okay? But everybody's got an image of yourself, okay? Well, I walk around with this group of people and they expect me to act this way. I get around my high school buddies and this is how they see me. I come to church and this is how they see me. How does Christ see you? That's really all that matters. Okay? It's not who you are around people. It's who He says you are in the Word. And your self-image has to line up with how He defines you. And if you don't got enough Word, enough looking in the mirror to tell you this is who I am, then your hope is not going to be very strong about walking in the things He says you can walk in. But we have to have such a living hope, such an excitement. When you wake up, you say, I'm going forward with God. I get to meet my enemies with love today. Hallelujah. All right. Be ye doers of the word. No, okay, I got ahead of myself. Wherefore lay aside, or lay apart, verse 21, all filthiness and superfluity of naughtiness, and rampant wickedness. Receive with teachability. In other words, don't let your past define who God has made you now. Receive with teachability. Paul was such a good example of that. Anyway. The engrafted word which is able to save your souls. Everybody say souls. That is the word changing who you are on the inside. But be ye doers of the word, and not hearers only, deceiving your own selves. For if any be a hearer of the word, and not a doer, he is like unto a man beholding his natural face in a glass. For he beholdeth himself, goeth his way, and straightway forgetteth what manner of man he was. But whoso looketh into the perfect law of liberty, and here's that word again, and continueth therein, he being not a forgetful hearer, but a doer of the work, this man shall be blessed in his deed. Now I don't normally do this, but I feel like the image is going to stick with you longer than my preaching will. So I've asked a couple people to be props for me. You know who you are. Please come forward. Henry, yes. Now, in the past, we've used Henry as God in our skits, and Henry will remain God, okay, in our skits. Come here, Henry. So, first off, Henry, you're going to be right here. This is God. Everybody say, hi, God. Okay. Now, at the beginning here, Zach is going to be Adam. All right, everybody go boo. Okay. All right, so now, God, I want you here. And Adam, I want you here. Okay, Jared, I want you here. And Natalie, you can put that down for now and you can be right there. Now, I want everyone to turn face that way. Now, God, He's the source of everything. Okay? Now, put your arm right here on Adam. There's a connection here, right? They're one. Okay? He is the original vine. Now, I know that Adam lived by himself and had Eve, okay? But this is a representative. Jared's going to represent mankind that's following. Okay? Natalie, come back here. This is creation. All right? Now, this connection right here, there's a life, a spiritual life. It's not just one time. It's not just you've been born again, but you receive from a day on a daily basis. When a vine has to receive the sap. Everybody with me? And see, it's as though when Adam took a bite of that fruit, it's like he took the pliers and that branch was separated. And death passed all the way down. All the way down. Everybody see that? Okay, now we're going to do the new vine. God, I want you over here. Hope this is okay. God, I want you standing up here on this stair. Okay, now, this is no longer the first Adam. This is the last Adam, Jesus Christ. Everybody go, yay! Hallelujah! All right. Now, back up just a bit. And why don't you step up right there? All right. And then Jared, you come forward. And Natalie, I want you guys to stand on either side. I'll stand right here, and then Natalie, you stand right there. This is not rehearsed, okay? I haven't told them yet. So now, how many of you know that Jesus abided with God and in God, and they were one? Everybody say one. So, look at here. Bam. There is an abiding between them. He says, I and my Father are one. He is the vine that's rooted directly into God, by which we make connections, okay? So now these two are apart from the vine. The message of salvation comes and says, hey, you need to be born again. You guys know that? You need to be born again. See, you're not bearing any fruit. You got all this sin. You're just not, just bad. Okay, so you need to be born again. So they receive that message. Jared receives it first. Life flows. Okay? Everybody with me? You need to be born again. She receives that message and life flows. Where's that fruit bag at? Oh, okay. Sorry. Thank you, God. No, God can do that. Yeah, that's okay. Thank you. All right. All right, now, hallelujah. So now, because they're both born again, they're both good trees, both fruit-bearing trees, they have fruit, they have the fruit of salvation in their life. Because that life is flowing from God, and Jesus, who is the vine planted in God, is passing that life. You are branches, you're engrafted in with Jesus. And they have the fruit of salvation working in their life. Well, praise God. Hallelujah. That's the first step. But you're supposed to continue therein. Everybody say continue. So here's some messages from God. We have them in the Word. You also have the Holy Ghost that teaches you all truth. Everybody with me? So here's a message from God. Okay. Here's a message from God. They both say the same thing in this hypothetical situation. It says, love your enemies. Love your enemies. You're new creatures. You're connected to the vine. You should be able to love your enemies. All right. So now you receive that with meekness. If there was a way I could make him do this, I would. I would tell him, you eat that. Eat that. No, this. You eat that. But I'm not going to make him eat it, okay? Why don't you just put it in your pocket? Because he assimilates that. He says, that's part of me. That's who I am. That sap's making it all the way down. I receive with meekness the engrafted word. Here's a piece of fruit. Now, you say, well, now, do you know God? You talk to God. Do you know God how bad it was that I got hurt? How bad it was? Let me just tell you how bad it was. He says, well, you're connected with me. That life's flowing. You can love your enemies. See? He says, I don't think that I can. This was a hurt. You know, it's way up there. You'd understand. God understands. Okay. She's not receiving it. She's not receiving the word. No fruit for you. Okay. No fruit. Here's another one. Lay hands on the sick. They'll recover. Lay hands on the sick. You eat that one too. Jared says, I receive that with meekness. I receive that. It's not me. It's Christ in me. He bears fruit. See? Now, I'm just going to use me. There's been times the Lord has highlighted people to me. He says, go pray for that person that got back pain. And I say, I don't know that person. I don't know that person. He says, I don't know that person. Well, I don't care. Your Lord, I don't care. He said, but I'm going to look silly because they're going to think I'm strange. And he says, I asked, how do you think revival is supposed to happen? It's always stepping out by faith first, and then the results. What, are you going to wait for the results and then step out? There's the healing. Oh, praise God, I'm going to jump in and take credit for that. That's not how that works. He says, no, there's too many ifs that I can't control. I will not receive that. He says, not bearing any fruit of that word. Everybody with me? Here comes another one. Let's use Elay's. Be anxious for nothing. Be anxious for nothing. So you receive with meekness the engrafted word that's able to save your soul. See, this connection is existing between both of them. Everybody with me? It's not that she's not saved, but she's not bearing fruit. Okay? And he is receiving the word past salvation. He's receiving the correction. He's receiving the teaching. He's receiving the keys of the kingdom. And he's bearing fruit. And when he says, okay, what did I say? Be anxious for nothing? Well, I got a bill coming up. But that's okay. I receive with meekness the engrafted word. He bears fruit. Natalie, you're not doing so hot over there. I've always been able to take care of myself. I've always maintained control. I've always had a good, stable job. Now, I know you're telling me to step out and walk in my calling, but I need to know how you're going to provide for me. I need to know. Well, we walk by faith and not by sight. I'll take care of you. Do you trust me? And some people will stay in that cycle of trust for years, or learning how to trust him in that, and they never take a step out. And God's always trying to coax them out and says, I got this for you. There's deeper waters. There's deeper waters, but you're not taking the step out. So you're not bearing the fruit. And she puts that word to the side. She's not receiving it. She's not bearing the fruit of it. See? And see, then we look. She looks at him and says, What'd you favor him for? What you favoring him for? But he's received with meekness the engrafted word. Everybody, does that bless everybody? Yeah. That's the picture. Okay, thank you. You're all done. Thank you. Now that's probably going to stick with you. Here, you can carry that for me. Thank you. That's going to stick with you longer than all my words. So. See, you have a connection with God, and it's not just a one-time salvation thing. It's His Word is constantly coming to you. It's constantly reproving you. And there has to be hope in there to match. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Let's go to one more verse, and I think we'll be done this evening. Let's go to 2 Corinthians chapter 3. We'll start here in verse 7. Verse 6. Verse 6. 2 Corinthians 3, verse 6. God, who also hath made us able ministers of the New Testament, not of the letter, but of the Spirit. For the letter killeth, but the Spirit giveth life. But if the ministration of death, written and engraven in stones, was glorious, so that the children of Israel could not steadfastly behold the face of Moses, for the glory of his countenance, which the glory was to be done away, how shall not the ministration of the Spirit be rather glorious? For if the ministration of condemnation be glory, much more doth the ministration of righteousness exceed in glory. For even that which was made glorious had no glory in the respect, by reason of the glory that excelleth. For if that which is done away was glorious, much more that which remaineth is glorious. Seeing then that we have such hope, everybody say hope, we use great plainness or boldness of speech. And not as Moses, now get this, not as Moses, which put a veil over his face, that the children of Israel could not steadfastly look to the end of that which is abolished, but their minds, everybody say their minds. Their minds were blinded, for until this day remaineth the same veil, untaken away in the reading of the Old Testament. The words that were prophesying of Christ's coming, when they heard them, they did not see, they did not recognize, and their minds were blinded, which veil is done away in Christ. But even unto this day, when Moses is read, the veil is upon their heart. Now the sad thing is, the modern adaptation of this for the church today, when Christ's words are read, there is a veil upon our heart. We do not read them as though they're true. We do not read them in reality. We read them as almost like nice sayings, but they're not for you and me. They're true for you. Everything he said about you is real right now. Nevertheless, when it shall turn to the Lord, the veil shall be taken away. Now the Lord is that Spirit, and where the Spirit of the Lord is, there is liberty. But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass or in a mirror, the glory of the Lord, are changed. Everybody say changed. Into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. See, when you pick this mirror up and you look, it's not just who Jesus was, it's who you are. Now, you're not God, but you are a son of God. You're a daughter of God. And you look in this mirror, and when you approach it with faith and hope, and you say, I believe what you've said about me, you are changed into that image. And just like that guy, when they flipped the mirror around, he went from a homeless man to a business tycoon in his own thinking. Because he saw somebody different. He saw the potential of somebody different. Well, this isn't natural. This is spiritual. God has made you a new creature. You are who He says you are. And approach every day with hope and faith, knowing you're connected to Him. He's not asking you to do anything you can't do. He's made you able to do everything you can do. Hallelujah. Bear fruit because you're part of the vine. All right? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Let's all say this together. I am who He says I am. His thoughts define me. He's inside me. He is my reality. I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. As He was sent, so I've been sent. As He had glory, as a son, I have glory as a child of God. As He was loved, I am loved. As He abided in the Father's commandments, I abide in His commandments. That's you. That's you. Amen. All right.